Whenever you're ready, Chairman.
Then we'll bring to order the regular Planning and Zoning Commission meeting for Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. We'll start with roll call.
Chairman Lee Young.
Present.
Vice Chairman Dana Hennis. Commissioner Tyson Garten. Commissioner Jenny Greger.
Present.
Commissioner Jim Main.
Present.
And first items up are our consent agenda.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Next up, under resolutions, we have resolution number PZC01-2022 for...
Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners. In the interest of time, I won't read my entire staff memo, but just a little bit of a summary on what we're here to talk about. What we have before you is the resolution for the Planning and Zoning Commission to approve that the urban renewal plan for the East District, which is that industrial area out East CUNA, is in conformance with the comprehensive plan. In my memo, you can see where I specifically went out and called out the comprehensive plan goals and how this plan is in conformance. I'm happy to answer any questions you had about that. It's pretty straightforward stuff.
Any questions?
No questions.
All right. Then at this time, then I'll have Megan Conrad from Elam Burke, who is the attorney representing the Urban Renewal Agency, come up and give a presentation on the key highlights of the plan and information about what we're covering in the East District plan.
Thank you. Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Megan Conrad. I'm an attorney with Elam and Burke in Boise, Idaho, 251 East Front Street. Thank you so much for having me tonight. I will try to move through this presentation quickly. Please feel free to stop me if you have any questions, but just wanted to provide a little bit more background into the plan itself in support of what is being asked of you today to sign off on the resolution validating conformity of the urban renewal plan with the comprehensive plan and outlining the steps forward in this process, because we're somewhat in the middle of the approval. So here we go. Just a quick background, what is an urban renewal plan? Well, an urban renewal plan, it's not a contract, it's not an agreement with a specific entity, but what it is it's an outline of how a specific geographic area may develop, and that development is planned to be consistent with the city planning documents and the comprehensive plan. The Urban Renewal Agency, as you know, has one existing project area, and just to be clear, an Urban Renewal Agency is not a taxing district. It does not have the authority to levy taxes. It does not play a role in the assessment process either. It strictly receives an allocation of revenue based on new growth within a specific defined geographic area. Here's a quick map showing the area that we are talking about again. This is a map that you should be familiar with and have seen probably several times at this point. Just quickly, the establishment of an urban renewal plan and project area is governed by two sections of Idaho Code. It's chapters 20 and 29, Title 50. And what has to be included within an urban renewal plan is specifically guided by statute. The plan elements are set forth in 50-2905, and there are specifically eight elements that have to be included with specificity as declared by the Idaho Code and Legislature. The first issue, or the first element that has to be addressed is, does the combined base values, so the value at the time a project area goes in, do the combined base value of your existing district plus the new district, is it less than 10% of the total taxable value of the city? That analysis has been run. That information is included in the plan, and it does fall within that 10% limitation. And that can be found specifically in your planning document in section 502.3. The other element is a statement listing the kind, number, and location of all the proposed public improvement projects within the district. That can be found in attachment 5, which outlines with specificity what the planned public infrastructure improvements are. And it doesn't mean that they will be entitled to reimbursement, but this gives the authority to reimburse should those improvements come forward. There's also a description in a narrative form as to expanding a bit on how an agency may assist in funding those infrastructure improvements in section 301 of the plan. Probably the most critical piece of the plan is the next element. It's an economic feasibility study. The economic feasibility study looks at the projected revenue in a proposed project area. It looks at new growth and development, new opportunities. It looks at the fact that this is zoned industrial commercial. What is the potential for that in the long term, because this will be in place for 20 years? And there are certain assumptions and projections that are made on the revenue side. We look at the levy rate, look at, again, the potential project and growth within the district over the time. On the other half of that analysis, there's the identification of the public projects and the costs associated with those. And in this case, the economic feasibility consultant determined that this project is feasible because the proposed revenue does exceed the proposed costs of the public infrastructure. You'll note specifically in this plan, the projects are prioritized. And there's three levels of priority: priority A, B, and C. What we're talking about in terms of economic feasibility is really focused on priority A. To the extent the project area does outperform, or to the extent certain development occurs in advance of other contemplated development in the projections, there's some ability to move a project from priority B or priority C up the list if needed. So it's the proposed project costs are estimated for priority A at about $47 million. And that economic feasibility study is attachment 5 to the planning document. The attachment 5 also includes the detailed list of project costs. As mentioned, the plan itself includes a fiscal impact statement showing the impact of the revenue allocation area on the overlapping taxing districts. That is set forth in a narrative form in section 502.8 and attachment 5. And when we talk about impact to a taxing district, really what we're talking about is the delay in a taxing district's ability to take that new development growth that's occurring within the district. That does end a portion of it at the close of a district, ends up on the new construction roll. So it's not a loss, it's a delay in a budget capacity increase over time. The description of the methods of financing the projects is also set forth in Attachment A, as well as in Sections 3.3, 3.4, 3.9, 501, 502, 504, and Attachment 5. In general, this plan is contemplated as what we refer to more as either a developer advance funding model, where the developer will actually fund the cost of the public infrastructure improvements, then those are ultimately eligible for reimbursement. Or alternatively, it would be a pay-as-you-go model. The agency would accrue funds, and then to the extent it has accrued enough funds, it can actually do the infrastructure improvement itself. The statute requires that there be a termination date in the plan. The termination date is December 31 of 2042, recognizing there could be revenues flowing to the agency in 2043. That doesn't mean that it has to go for that long. You know, sometimes these projects do finish up, and there are projects that do terminate early. And then finally, there's a description of the disposition or retention of assets. When we look at that, sometimes an agency does have an ability to acquire property. To the extent it does so at the end of a project area, oftentimes that will be disposed of to either a city or a highway district, the party that is the most proper party to maintain that infrastructure. So when we look at our revenue model, the anticipated tax increment allocation over time is anticipated to be $58 million over the life of the district. Just want to call attention that this is a post-July 1, 2016 plan, and what that means is that there are certain limitations on the ability to amend this plan. If a plan is amended by a city council ordinance and it doesn't fall within an exception, that modification would trigger what we refer to as a base reset. So the base value would essentially reset to the current taxable value, and it would eliminate an agency's revenue stream. So it's important that we've identified the projects that are anticipated to be funded during the life of the district. There are certain exceptions for ministerial and technical changes, as well as for improvements to existing commercial or industrial projects within a district. So where have we been? An urban renewal plan has two phases to it. One is the eligibility phase, where the geographic area is reviewed and determined if it meets the conditions set forth in Idaho Code. That process, that study was accepted by the agency and put forward to the City Council. City Council then accepted the study and directed the agency to prepare an urban renewal plan. After that point, there was a stakeholder and public outreach. On August 2nd, there was a joint City Council planning and zoning and agency board workshop to discuss the boundaries and the proposed projects. There was also a meeting on August 3rd with the agency board, where those projects were also reviewed again in an open meeting. And then on September 14th, the agency considered the plan for approval and adopted resolution number URA 03-2022, which really kickstarts this process of moving this plan through the plan approval process. Just a couple other additional plan requirements that we're working through. We talked about the 10% value limitation and that is within that threshold. When we talk about parcels that have been used as an agricultural operation within the last 3 years, and that definition, it's found within the Idaho Code, and it is fairly broad. And so those parcels that have been deemed to be agricultural operations, property owner consent is required to be included in the district. So those parcels that meet that definition, ag consents have been obtained from those parcels within the boundaries. And then there has been a change in statute concerning the allocation of the highway district levy. And so currently working with ACHD on an agreement for the agency to retain that portion of the levy, particularly as there are so many roadway improvements identified in this plan. So that's working its way through the process. Again, just a copy of the current zoning maps of light industrial, heavy industrial, and then the future land uses of industrial. And that certainly are the goals of this plan that are outlined therein. Then finally, what are our next steps? So today here, it's being ask for you to consider the resolution validating conformity of this plan with the comprehensive plan. And then next up is a City Council public hearing. It's tentatively scheduled for November 1st. There is a published notice requirement, and that first notice should be published here this week on September 29th. There's also going to be a copy of the plan and the notice transmitted to the affected taxing districts. And there will be a second notice published, and then there will be a public hearing, and the reading process will be followed before the City Council. So I know that's a bit of a longer process, but it has been a while since the city has considered a urban renewal plan, and it's been a while since planning and zoning has had an opportunity to touch one of these as well. So happy to stand for any questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions for this time? No, thank you.
Thank you.
Bring up our discussion on the resolution. Having, at least for me, having read through that and been part of some of the workshops and everything, it, to me, it conforms with the comprehensive plan and the goals that were set out when the agency was first thought of.
Right, I agree with that.
I think it'll be a great tool for that area to help you, help that develop as there's some big things going on out there. So any other thoughts?
No, I agree. It's nice to see a plan, something working on early.
And it's just one of the many steps to come. So, so I guess if there's no other questions, I'd stand for a motion, the resolution, if you feel it meets the comprehensive plan.
Mr. Chairman, I move to recommend approval for resolution PZC01-2022, finding the urban renewal plan for the CUNA East Urban Renewal Project is in conformity with the city's comprehensive plan.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Good job. It's been a long time coming. So. Okay. And next up, we have, under public hearings, our comprehensive plan amendment. And I said Doug was presenting, but
I will be standing in for Doug this evening. If you can just give me a moment, a few of the back-end admin items. If you, commissioners, could reach forward on the box for your microphone. If there's one to your mic directly, turn that dial up a little bit. If not, raise your hand. I will come and fix that. Excuse me, folks, while I wear a couple hats here. Be good?
You tell me.
Much better, thank you. Okay. Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Planner 2 Jessica Reed standing in for Doug Hansen with CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street in CUNA. The City of CUNA requests consideration for an amendment to the Comprehensive Plan Future Land Use Map and to forward a recommendation to the City Council. The Future Land Use Map, or FLUM, is intended to carry out the goals of the Comprehensive Plan by designating land uses that will enhance the city by shaping and managing both the built and undeveloped environment, preserving existing land uses, and implementing a strong community design that will meet the demands of the citizens, public infrastructure, and services. The proposed FLUM, previously reviewed by this commission on March 22nd and April 12th of 2022, has been updated to reflect the greater need of industrial designated property per Exhibit 2.18 or page 223 of your overall meeting packet from the City of CUNA Economic Development Director. The FLUM now proposes a total of approximately 5,907 acres of industrial designated property, an increase of 2,048 acres from the previous proposal. Staff would also like to make one correction on the record. Page 217 of the overall packet, proposed comprehensive plan map should be listed as Exhibit 2.19. And with that, myself and Morgan, our Economic Development Director, will answer any questions you may have.
Are there any questions for staff at this time? Guess not. Okay. Then with that, we'll open the public testimony at 6:19. Looking at the sign-in sheet, I don't see Anybody signed in to testify on this application? Having said that, is there anybody here that would like to testify that is not signed in for this application? Okay. For the comp. Well, I'll have to get it on the record, so we'll have to come up to the front and please the microphone. And if Jessica could have him sign in.
Okay. Yeah. My name is Steve Hughes. I live at 3595 East Deer Flat. My question is about the previous map that the city rejected in June. And when I listened to that, there was a lot of conversation between some of the council members about property along the 10-mile corridor. I'm wondering if that was addressed in this latest map, because I don't see any changes to that.
I'm looking at the original.
Specifically, some of the members had a problem that a lot of 10 mile was designated on that last version of the map to be mixed use. And they wanted some of it or more of it to be commercial. And I was under the impression that's why the map was rejected. I'm just curious if that was addressed in this one.
For the record, Planner 2, Jessica Reed. After that map was rejected, the council members were able to ask extensive questions to the planning and zoning staff, and it was able to be better explained that mixed use is both commercial and an associated, separate, but complementary use. So commercial would primarily be always on our collector roads or our, what we would call the hard corners at intersections. What we would require if an application came forward, that those frontage roads would have commercial, and then the behind that, it would be some kind of complementary use, whether that's a public land like a sports field or it's housing or something of the sort. It covers the commercial aspect without designating only commercial for X amount of space.
So the city council was that satisfied them on that?
Correct.
Is my understanding?
Correct.
See, my question only was, if that hadn't been addressed and they hadn't said okay, this one would have been rejected as well, is my point. If that had not been taken care of.
Yes, if they did not get the clarification to their questions, then it would have required a red mark to be put exactly along the 10-mile corridor instead of just the pink mixed use.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Then, seeing nobody else signed in to testify on this application, I'll close the public testimony at 6:23, which then brings up our discussion on the land use map itself and the modifications to it. Any initial thoughts? Concerns? Questions?
Well, if the city council has had their concerns addressed in this map, then I see no other issues with it.
Okay. Okay. Then I'd stand for a motion if there's no other.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend for approval the comprehensive plan map amendment as presented by staff.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion carries. Thank you. So, next on the agenda, we have case number 2203-ZC rezone for 3303 North 10 Mile Road. And Troy.
Good evening, commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, planner 3751 West 4th Street here in CUNA. The applicant tonight is requesting a rezone approval for approximately 24.17 acres. The parcel is located near the southwest corner of Hubbard and 10 Mile Roads. The request is for a rezone only. Future development will require additional applications and public hearings. The applicant is proposing to change the current zone from C1, neighborhood commercial, to R20, which is high density residential. The future land use map, or the FLUM, calls for mixed uses for the southwest corner. Additionally, the applicant was approved for a lot split in February of this year, and this zoning will fulfill the mixed use component designated on the FLUM map. Staff has determined that the application generally complies with the goals and the policies for CUNA City, complies with Title 5 and 6 of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes 50-2022, and 67-6511, and the comprehensive plan for the city. Staff recommends that if the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the rezone to the City Council, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 9 of staff's report, as well as any other conditions by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I will sit for any questions that you have. And the applicant is present tonight and would, I believe, wants to make a presentation.
Okay. Are there any questions for staff? Okay. All right. Then we'll have the applicant please come forward. State your name and address for the record, please.
Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Perfect. Thanks, Jessica. Good evening, Chairman and Commissioners. Jeff Bauer, 601 West Bannock in Boise, here tonight on behalf of the applicant. With me tonight is Mr. Tim Eck, owner of the property and developer. I'm going to keep this short because Troy did an excellent job summarizing, and this is a fairly simple application. But I wanted to bring a map up because I'm a guy that likes pictures. So we're talking about the 24 acres outlined in blue tonight, and the application before you is to rezone this parcel from C1 commercial to R20 residential. We have reviewed staff's report as well as all the conditions of approval, and we agree with the analysis and all of those conditions proposed. Before I talk specifically about this application, I wanted to go just a bit more into the history of this site. There are a few recent approvals associated with it that I think inform why we're here tonight. So in 2019, we came to the city and asked for this property to be rezoned to C1, as well as the parcel adjoining it to the west to be zoned R6. While our application was pending, the city changed its zoning code so that multifamily higher density residential was no longer allowed in the C1 zone. So we came to the city with an application on this 40 acres that was going to contemplate a mixed use project, multifamily and commercial. But while it was pending, like I said, the city changed the table of uses and the multifamily was no longer allowed there. So the plan between city staff and ourselves at that time was, okay, go forward, split this lot, and come back to us with a rezone. And so we've done the first. As Troy mentioned, we got the lot split done. We took off the hard corner, the 14 acres right on 10 Mile and Hubbard, and now we're here for the rezone for the multifamily. Development to the west is progressing as planned. So we have single-family residential on that parcel, getting more dense to townhouse product as you move from west to east. And so this would be a natural transition of that project to the commercial on the Hart Corner. So we have single family, townhome product, multifamily, then commercial. And Jessica's comments were right on point about the comp plan. We are trying to fulfill that mixed-use designation here that we have to truly create a mixed-use project with commercial, higher density residential transitioning to single family to make this a successful corner with walkable commercial and neighborhood neighborhood commercial as intended. As Mr. Buchanan mentioned, mixed-use designation supports the zoning that we're asking for. One other just fact I wanted to point out was that there has been a very significant project recently approved to our north. That's the Sabino project that was before this board, this commission in June of this year. That's a large mixed-use project to our north. And right across Hubbard from us, the city council just approved last week the rezone and annexation of that project. So you'll have commercial again on the Hart Corner to the north with R8 and R6 zoning, so some denser product across the street. And so, again, we think that that's important here in terms of compatibility for our project. So happy to stand for any questions. Again, agree with staff's analysis and all the conditions of approval.
Are there any questions for the applicant?
I don't have any questions.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
And we'll open the public testimony at 6:31. And I just show one person signed in. Is there anybody else who would like to testify on this application who has not signed in? Okay, seeing none, then we have Robbie, please come forward. And
Robbie Reno, Cuna School District, 711 East 1st Street, Cuna, Idaho. Chairman Lee and members of the commission, as an agent of the board, our school district board strives to bring the tax rate down on the community. And since the last 5 years, with the growth of commercial and residential, our tax rate for the patrons has gone from 82% to 88% as a residential impact on us. While we had a lot of commercial, that has not helped the residents in the tax levy rate for the district. So our board wishes to bring in more commercial to help lessen the burden upon our homeowners. And so moving this from a C1 to R20 would just continue to raise that percentage up. And so we wish that it stay commercial. And that's all I have. I stand for questions.
Okay. Any questions for Robbie?
No questions.
All right. Thank you. Okay, then with that, I'll close the public testimony at 6:33, which again brings up our discussion. Any initial thoughts?
Well, it seems that the only concern is with the school district and the development of commercial projects, and with the northeast corner, being commercial, and with the southeast corner of the adjacent property being commercial, I think that might work to that end.
Yeah, I think that it is consistent with the comprehensive plan and is still consistent with the initial application when it was zoned C1. Several years ago, this use was talked about at that time as well.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm just going to interrupt Andrea Nielsen, city attorney. I just want to make sure before you close the public hearing that you offer the applicant an opportunity to provide rebuttal to the testimony that was provided to the by the school district. Just prior to closing the public hearing, that would be important.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Ms. Carroll.
Thank you.
Chairman, board. I like the way the conversation was going, so I hate to get up here and shoot myself in the foot. But I will say, you know, when we got this zone C1, Mr. Eck did go out and beat the bushes pretty hard to find the biggest commercial user we could. And what we found was viable here is kind of what you see carving off the 14 acres. We obviously really respect what the school district does, hope to work with them on this project going forward. But this is the maximum size commercial project we found to be viable here at this time. And certainly vacant land doesn't help tax rolls either. So we ask for your approval on this so that we can get a project going that will help in that respect. So thank you.
Thank you. And with that, I'll officially close the public testimony at 6:35. Come back to our discussion. And so I guess those were my thoughts on it.
Well, I think it fits the area well. It's more of a neighborhood feel out there with the residential and the commercial nearby.
I think it's transitioning as we envision with the commercial and then denser residential flushing down into less dense as you move away from the hard corner. So
right.
I think that's consistent with what our usual thoughts are. So there's any other thoughts?
Yeah, I think I have really mixed feelings about it, but I think the high density there is probably the right place to have the high density. So with that said,
okay.
I don't know what it, yeah.
All right. And if there's nothing else, I'd stand for a motion then.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend for approval case number 22-03-ZC rezone, subject to the condition of approval listed in section 9 of the staff report.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Motion carries. Thank you. Then back up. And then next under public hearings, we have case numbers 22-07-S preliminary plat and 22-16-DR design review for Newberry Place. And Troy again.
Good evening again, commissioners. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, planner 3, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, Planning and Zoning Department. The applicant tonight is requesting approval for a preliminary plat and a design review for a subdivision. The request for preliminary plat approval is to subdivide approximately 18.64 acres into 98 single-family buildable lots, 25 common lots, for a total of 123 lots. Those common lots are the open spaces. According to Exhibit 2.19, the City Engineer and the Public Works Department. Are we good?
Yeah, we're
good. Okay. And the City Engineer and the Public Works Department conditionally supports the Newberry Place subdivision subject to the conditions that are listed within their memo. That support is also contingent on the applicant designing constructing and maintaining private ownership and private operation of a proposed sewer lift station. The applicant is proposing 1.9 acres or 10.63 acres or 10.63% of the total project as open space. Staff generally views the proposed landscaping to be compliant with CUNA City Code and highlights that only a part of the retention basins that are used for runoff may be counted towards usable open space. Staff has determined that the application generally complies with the goals and the policies of the City of CUNA, complies with Title V and Title VI of CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes 50222 and 676511, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan map, and the CUNA Comprehensive Plan. Staff recommends that if Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval for the preliminary plat and approves the design review application, the applicant be subject to the conditions of approval listed in Section 9 of staff's report, as well as any other conditions that the commission sees necessary. And with that, I will stand for any questions, and I believe the applicant is here to present.
Okay. Are there any questions for Troy?
No questions. All
right. Okay. Then we'll please have the applicant come forward and state your name and address for the record, please.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. Ben Semple with Rodney Evans and Partners, 1450 West Bannock Street, Boise, Idaho, 83702. I want to thank Troy first for his presentation. He did a good job encapsulating what the proposal is here. We are in agreement with the terms of and conditions in the City of CUNA staff report and the city interdepartment memos regarding the sewer lift station, as well as the ACHD staff report that was attached. This is the project here is related to the preliminary plat of the subdivision, as well as the design review of the common area open space landscaping. The project pre-plat complies with the standards of the underlying R8 zone with no variances requested, and we're not requesting a rezone or any higher density than would be allowed. This includes lot sizes, setbacks, open space, access, and amenities. The common area landscape also meets or exceeds all the standards of the code, with additional buffering provided along the northern boundary where allowed by the irrigation district and their easement that falls there. Due to the lot depths along the north, additional private yard space will allow for substantial landscaping within the lots, which will further buffer the project from surrounding subdivisions and parcels. We will be coming back with a design review application regarding the structures themselves. At this point, we do know that the designs will be well below the height that's allowed within this zone, and will be designed to fit on these lots as required by code. The location of the footprints of these lots will be located specifically on these northern lots, have some additional depth. We will be pulling those as far to the south as possible, as the front setbacks will allow. This provides approximately 150 feet plus or minus from the existing homes to the north of the canal that runs along the north boundary of the project site. And again, that future design review application for the homes will show that the designs will meet or will be in conformance with the code standards for that. We are aware of some concerns from the neighbors regarding traffic that the development could generate, as well as some of the privacy issues due to the homes or the townhomes themselves. The development does provide an extension of Donaway Street that is stubbed to the north property boundary. This street was always planned to be extended into this property when it got redeveloped. It is a public street, and ACHD and the City of CUNA are requiring an extension of that street and connection. Regardless of that, we are providing an additional connection of Butterfly Street, which is on the southern boundary, to 10 Mile at a location that ACHD is planning a future roundabout. That road will be designed. I know there was some back and forth in the staff report or some conditions of approval regarding the design of that street. The applicant development team is in agreement with that condition to make sure that that meets the standards of some traffic calming if they determine that that's necessary there. And that does provide an additional connection for traffic from this development to 10 Mile. We will be relocating the entry from Butterfly into the development to move it further to the east. That complies with the condition of approval. It will more than likely require us to drop a single lot off of the project, possibly two, depending on the design of that street connection. We're fine with that and would be agreeable to however the design needs to change there. We feel that that's a fairly minor change and would not result in an increase in buildable lots, but a reduction in buildable lots, as well as potential additional open space. There's a pathway condition that we're in agreement with. We talked with Troy earlier in the week about working with the city staff to make sure that the location of those pathways provides for meaningful connections, not only through and within this development, but also to adjacent developments that will surely use these pathways once they're installed. And with that, I would stand for any additional questions you may have.
Any questions for?
Yes, I have one question. Could you point out exactly where that you would move that access point to on Butterfly Street?
The condition states lot 28, which is approximately halfway between the existing connection to Butterfly and 10 Mile. What it does is it stubs that connection into the southernmost street of the development, right at the common open space. So it creates a more inviting entry into the subdivision. It also avoids a longer straight run of street up the western boundary. So it creates some traffic calming there as well for people coming in and out of the development and keeps people's headlights from shining into people's homes.
And you'd still have the entry down at the west end?
No, sir, that would go away. Okay. That would be converted. Very similar to the northwest corner where we have a private shared drive that accesses a couple garages there. That would be a similar condition in the southwest corner there of the development. And we were conditioned to provide a public pathway across lots 10, 11, and 12 on the north. And so we anticipate there being a similar condition on the south where it would generate a common area space that we could provide a connection to the sidewalk that runs along Butterfly. The civil engineer has determined that where the sewer line needs to run into Butterfly will require a common or easement through that space too, which would further encumber that as a public area that we could put a pathway connection to.
Thank you.
The units that would be along the north end of the property, you say you're looking and designing those to be, so the taller portion would be a little higher and the depth of those would offer lower heights towards the rear of those lots? What kind of heights are you looking at and at what?
Mr. Chairman, the preliminary designs that, and I have a member of the developer and home builder team here, I believe the height was around 28 feet, if I remember correctly. That was to the top. The upper level of all of the townhomes, at least preliminarily, has a small sort of bonus room space. In all cases, that's located at the front of the home, and there's no windows from that space out to the outside other than on the front of it. So on the northern edge, the roof line protects from any views that would be, you know, any potential views to the north. There would be no views other than from the first and second floor rooms there. That bonus room is, I should probably get clarification, but at this point it's probably only about 100 square feet or so. So it's truly a bonus space that's within the roof system. So.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Then we'll open the public testimony at 6:49, and we'll ask that each person signed up to testify has 3 minutes to express your opinions, and then when we've gone through the list, the developer will have a chance to come back and have 10 minutes to discuss your questions, your points. So with that, first I have listed that is marked to testify is Clark Munson. If you'd please just come up and state your name and address for the record, please.
My name's Clark Munson. I live at the corner. I live at 3273 West Devotion Drive. And I'm right on the corner, the southeast corner of Devotion and Donaway. I don't know, we can't see it on that map. So where I am, my house is located. I'm going to be double impacted by this project if it's approved. To my east is Donaway, which is now going to be a major artery into this subdivision. And so there's going to be a whole lot more traffic going by my house than normal. I'm glad to hear that they want to do the 10-mile entrance sometime soon. So that would cut it down, but still it'd be approximately 500 vehicle trips a day on Donaway. The biggest part, though, is I know we're going to talk about traffic, but to my north is the project. And according to them at the neighborhood meeting, these multifamily home townhomes, they were actually going to be taller than the tallest two-story home in Memory Ranch. Now, he came up with a different number there than I think we were told at the neighborhood meeting. So I don't know which one is correct. But they're going to be very tall. We'd be looking at the back of them. They'll be very tall. And they're going to be very wide because these are going to be triplexes and fourplexes. And I think the triplex is supposed to be 90 feet wide. And so that would probably mean that the fourplexes are going to be 120 feet wide. So we're going to be looking at a big, wide, tall building behind us. I am a licensed real estate broker in Idaho, and so I do know that there's a great need for affordable housing, and townhomes do create affordable housing depending on where they're priced. But the problem here is that this project doesn't fit in with the Memory Ranch subdivision. We're single-family homes, and this is going to be a multifamily home project right next to us. I just kind of feel that a lot of people that want to buy townhomes would rather be close to the center of the city. They'd rather be close to restaurants, grocery stores, and entertainment, not out at least 5 miles from where we are. So I do strongly oppose this project. If it was going to be a single family subdivision similar to what we have in Memory Ranch, I'd be up here saying, let's go for it. I'm happy. But it's not. It's going to be higher density than what we have, and it's going to be tall and wide and not very attractive. Now, I do know that property owners, especially large parcels, do have the right to put their land to the highest and best use. This may be the highest use for this land, but it's not the best. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, next I have listed to testify Hugo Costello. If you just state your name and address for the record, please. Thank you.
Hello, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, my name is Hugo Castillo. I reside at 3441 West of Ocean Drive here in Kuna, Idaho, 3642. And I am also here pretty much with what Clark said right now. You know, just looking at the Memory Ranch subdivision, we have single family homes there. You know, I am a real estate agent as well, and every time I go to these meetings, I know that one of the things that we talk about is making sure that whatever is going in would simulate whatever is around it, and that would be my only thing. They did talk about these buildings being a little bit higher, and my whole thing is just, you know, why not try to do something similar to what's already there? And just keep the single family. That's my concern. That's about it.
Okay. Thank you very much. Next, I have Scott Barron.
Thank you, commissioners, for letting me speak today. Again, in speaking with the people that I live around there, I live at 6881 South Nordine Avenue. Thank you. And I was here a couple years ago, I believe, when a developer had an idea for a mixed development plan. I don't have the exact information, but it was about 2.5 years ago, in which that developer was going to build different, I think it was going to be single-family homes and multi-family-like townhomes. And I remember that the commission was discussing the placement of where these homes would go. And I believe one of the commissioners indicated they would like to see in that development, the single-family homes butt up against Memory Ranch's homes to make it more uniform. So again, I am concerned about the high density. I'm not surprised that Donna Way was going to go through. I kind of realized that looking at the way the street designed, but I am deeply concerned with our neighborhood and the amount of traffic that would go through. It does appear from looking at this that Donna Way would be the primary entrance into this subdivision. The developer did not indicate when this other street would be developed. The map on our mailbox says it's in the future, so I would be concerned as to when in the future this would be developed. But I really believe that this development should have multi-entrances to itself instead of using Donaway as a primary entrance. I'm really concerned about the traffic in there in our subdivision, not to mention we have a set of mailboxes right there where there's a lot of foot traffic in that area. My other concern is about the construction. Will they be using Donaway in the construction of this development? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Then the next person I have listed, well, let's see, that is listed to testify. I do have a name up here, and they did not indicate one way or the other. Wayne Hancock?
Yes, sir. I would like to testify.
Okay. Then please.
Do I need to check that, or will you do that for me?
Gotcha. My name is Wayne Hancock, 6909 South Donaway Avenue. All the points mentioned, I agree with. The types of homes in the other subdivision, I don't agree with. The traffic coming down. Well, my biggest concern is that if it is a multifamily area, what would the impact of that be for the school zone that's already overburdened already? That's my biggest concern. I think limiting it to single family homes would make it so the classes already that are 20 or 30 students over capacity wouldn't be bumped up to 50 or so. I don't have any numbers for that, but that's just a rough guesstimation. But that's my biggest concern, is what effect it'll have on the schools. Thank you.
Thank you. Then next I have listed Michelle Mingman.
Michelle Mingman, 6933 South Donaway. So I think everyone's addressed most of our concerns. Most of our concerns are with the traffic, with the mailboxes being there, and with the extra noise with the construction. No one's addressed if that if our entrance from Haymaker into Donaway would be used for construction as well as something that will be permanent for the residents to use. I do have concerns with the schools and wondering, with all these projects coming in, not just this project, but around the city, are we getting more first responders and other services added as well to lessen the burden? As well as with the extra traffic comes the noise, the dirt. You know, we've been there. Donaway was the first street in that development. So we've gone through the struggles of 4 years of screws and nails and extra debris. And that's another concern for us, especially for someone like me who works from home. It would be a bit of a burden to have semis driving in and out all day while I'm on phone calls and meetings and working from home. So Clark touched on a lot of points with keeping the project single family, so it kind of blends in with Donaway. We knew that that street would always open up. CBH talked about possibly buying that land and continuing Memory Ranch. So it's not that we're opposed to something being built there. It's we want it to kind of match. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have listed Cody Penny. Did I say that correctly? 6954 North Norden. Okay. Okay. Then Cliff. Listed testify? No. Okay. This person did not mark either way. Michael Bingham? I'm sorry. Okay.
My name is Michael. I live at 6933 South Donaway. I think everybody's kind of touched on more or less what our concerns are. It would be nice if we know they're going to build, but it would be nice if the homes did match what is existing. But my other concern is we do have a mailbox, a community mailbox right on that corner, which brings a lot of traffic. And I know you guys are familiar with the 10-mile traffic. So why are we being inconvenienced for another development? Why can't they, as a part of their initial start, build their own entrance and use their own entrance to come and go? It's their construction and their travel and all that stuff. We get that it would be a main thoroughfare right now, but why can't the beginnings start with them putting a road in for their access, as well as when, you know, things are done, they have their travel way, and we're not the only way in or out. To my understanding, there's supposed to be multiple ways in and out in case of emergency. So if those roads aren't built till later on, then we're all influxed. Right now, we have a quiet neighborhood, and I fear that that's going to greatly impact that. That's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, I have Robbie Reno.
Robbie Reno, CUNA School District, 711 East Porter Street, CUNA, Idaho, 83634. Chairman Young, members of the commission, thank you. Newberry Place Subdivision, they've been pretty good. We've been had pretty good talks. They've helped with connectivity for the road to 10 Mile. But again, this is one that we cannot serve. It is in the Crimson Point subdivision. It is that zone is as big. This development will roughly bring 60 children. They have said that this is a townhome complex that will appeal to different residents, non-bearing families that don't have children. But what we see in CUNA is we just see it as far as that growth for that. And so we are in continuing talks with them to hopefully be able to collaborate and where we can support this. But as of right now, we cannot serve this development. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Now, I do not see anybody else who has signed in and marked to testify. Is there anybody else who has not signed in that would like to? Okay. If you would.
Good
please sign down here with your name and address. Thank you. And then please just go forward and just state your name and address for the record, please.
My name is Derek Anderson. I live at 6885 South Donaway Avenue. I live just to the north of where Donaway will be connected through. I'm here just to echo all of my neighbors' concerns. I think that not only have they said it correctly, but they said it more intelligently than I probably would. However, I believe that they should be echoed again, just for your ears, and how important this is for our community. In the previous hearing, the commissioners heard that the area should match and fit. And I don't believe this new subdivision matches and fits this neighborhood. one of the main arteries into our neighborhood currently is Haymaker Street, which in our planning for CBH is meant to be a home. So eventually that road will be closed. That being said, then we will have on the low end 196 vehicles, and the high end 294 vehicles. That's 2 to 3 vehicles per home in the 98 homes that will be built coming into our subdivision from Memory Road. Or I'm sorry, I believe it's Memorial. Almost everyone you heard from is parents of small children who play in these neighborhoods. And the tremendous amount of traffic that would come through that neighborhood to come to what is the corner of our subdivision that would be out of the way for any other reason to make it a main artery for this new subdivision. And one of my issues is that there will be no roads other than that one, it sounds like, other than Butterfly, which will come in eventually to that subdivision. I would just ask that if this is allowed to go through, that they be required to have ingress and egress in and of themselves. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Then, not seeing any other signed in that listed to testify, have the applicant please come
back. Hello, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. Again, Ben Semple, 1450 West Bannock Street, Boise, Idaho. I want to clarify something real quick. The main point, Butterfly is being built with this. It's being connected to 10 Mile. It's not relying on the roundabout there in the future whenever ACHD decides to do that. We are building the connection to 10 Mile with Butterfly as part of this subdivision project. There's a little bit of discussion ongoing about what that looks like in terms of the road section, but it will be built. So we will have, there will be an ingress egress directly tied to 10 Mile that comes from this neighborhood. We feel like with the condition relocating the connection from Butterfly into the internal streets of this subdivision, that helps encourage the residents to use Butterfly to get to 10 Mile. Will there be traffic that goes through the north on Donaway? I'm certain there will be. That's a public street that was always planned to be extended into the subdivision. We are sensitive to the neighbors' concerns about traffic. Construction traffic will come in from the south entry at the location where Butterfly is going to tie to 10 Mile. So construction traffic, there may be some minor stuff that goes through the subdivision, but I was talking with the builder and he's committing to putting their construction entrance off of 10 Mile there. With the separation from other public streets connecting to 10 Mile, there wasn't the opportunity for ACHD to approve another connection off of 10 Mile into the subdivision. With the connection that they indicated at Donaway being extended. I also wanted to clarify that these are townhomes that are on their individual lots. These are single-family townhomes. Are they in series of 2, 3, and 4? Yes, but they are fee simple lots that allow for the purchase of a smaller home for people that want to live in the CUNA area. So this is not an apartment complex that's being held for rentals. This is being built for sale. That was a clarifying point that I wanted to make as well. We're at or below the density allowed in the R8 zone. We're not asking for an increase in density with this project. It's a little bit different product, but we feel like a mix of product helps diversify neighborhoods. It helps bring people of different economic and social backgrounds into the same place to be part of that neighborhood and part of the community. We don't see it as a negative. There is a large canal, obviously, along the north boundary here that provides substantial separation from the single-family detached homes within the Memory Ranch subdivision here and the single-family townhome product that is within the Newberry Place subdivision. Talked about the construction entrance. There has been some back and forth with the school district. The developer had reached out to the school district and offered some mitigation in the form of, monetary value. The school district came back and said that's not sufficient. So they went back to the school district and offered more, as well as to drop a couple lots and sort of reorient some things so that they can install a wider sidewalk and a bus stop on 10 Mile that will help with pickup and drop off of students. I think the last number I saw, the total investment that they're making through the loss of a lot as well as contributing money directly to the school district for each townhome was approximately $195,000 to mitigate for the impacts on the school district. They also have a meeting set up for Tuesday, October 4th, that's next week, at 11 a.m. With the school district to discuss further mitigation efforts so that they can reduce their impact on the school district, which I know is of a concern. I think that's really the crux of what we're looking at doing here. We feel really good about this project. We've gone through a lot of different iterations of the plat through conversations with city staff and ACHD to come to this conclusion, and we would respectfully request approval of the project tonight, and I would stand for any additional questions.
Okay. As far as phasing for Butterfly and then the connection over the canal, what's the timing for each of those? Is Butterfly first constructed and then the bridge, or are they at the same time? Or
Before any vertical building permits are approved or I think even allowed to be submitted, we'll have to have a final plat that goes through, which would then require all of the roads to be built, utilities installed, everything to that effect. I don't know if there's a phasing plan. I've not been told that they're planning to phase this, so I would imagine that everything goes in at once. The bridge connection to Donaway obviously is subject to the irrigation district schedule. It can't happen between April and October. So if they break ground during irrigation season, I would imagine that Donaway connection is last. But that's kind of what I've been told for schedule anyway. I did want to real quickly, I apologize, I forgot to touch on one thing that I know the height of the homes and the design of these homes, the townhomes, is very important. We specifically did not submit an application for design review of the homes themselves. We're still working through design. We're taking into consideration some of the concerns about height, specifically along the north. So when we come back with design review application for that, we can talk more extensively about those designs. But we really just wanted to address the preliminary plat and the common area landscaping at this point.
Okay. Any other questions for the applicant at this time?
Yes. Do you see any problem constructing Butterfly Street as the first priority and using that access for construction.
I mean, it sounds like we're leaning towards that going, needing to be in first to mitigate for impacts of traffic. And if that is a condition that we need to comply with, then I don't see any problem with that.
And earlier you mentioned that from structure to structure, to the other subdivision, you were looking at 150 feet.
I believe that's about the right.
Okay. Distance. Do you know what the difference in elevation is between the two subdivisions?
They're approximately, the northern part of it is maybe a foot or two higher than the Memory Ranch subdivision, but it drops off substantially going from north to south. The canal also seems to sit a little bit higher than this property as well. So we feel like with the design of those, the additional landscaping, that we can really mitigate for any issues of view or privacy issues.
And do you know what type of fencing will be used on that northern property line?
We're discussing that with the irrigation district. A lot of time they want to see open vision fencing. We would prefer to put in a privacy fence. If we have to put in a security open vision fence for the irrigation district and a separate privacy fence, we would go that route. But we prefer privacy fencing along the entirety of the perimeter.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Then we'll go ahead and close the public testimony at 7:16. That then brings up our conversation.
Well, I was keeping score during the testimony, and it seems the biggest concern is the traffic and the roadway issues. Followed by the height of the buildings and then the construction. So I think if we, as a requirement, have Butterfly part of the initial phase and use for construction, that would alleviate quite a few of the concerns. And with the height of the buildings being 150 feet apart, I'm not sure exactly what that would look like, but I think that would probably minimize the overbearing feeling of the buildings.
Yeah. And well, I agree with what you said. I know that there's other impact fees that the developer will be paying for as far as fire and other impact fees to help with services as things continue to develop. If I know there's been concern for the subdivision to the north, temporary exit on Haymaker that at some point could be a house. If that develops, that's going to close that off, and it's going to highly deter people from coming from the south through the north. In fact, I think that after the roundabout to build a Butterfly, some people may come from the north through the south to access that. Because I know traffic going east-west can be an issue first thing in the morning. I know that there were concerns of density. The density meets the requirements of the zoning code as far as an R8. As far as the density goes, there's not much because it is zoned R8. So I think overall, with the open space, looks like the future pool house and pool, that'll also keep residents of this area in their subdivision with those amenities. And looking at the green space, you know, directly adjacent to Donaway and those parcels along, you know, parcels 45 for being a park, and then additional green space at 26, 19, and at the other end on the northwest corner, they're trying to break that up for the residences to the north. So I guess having said all of that, I feel it as it's, I don't have any issues with this as it's presented, knowing we're going to have to still can do design review for the buildings. And this also will go before city council as far as the next stage of the preliminary plat and approval of the final plat as well.
Right.
I agree with everything you say, but I also agree with most of the neighbors to the north that to me this just isn't consistent. It doesn't flow. It's not in the right spot. So I'm really not a, I just don't agree with it. I don't care for it. I don't think it's in the right spot. If it was on a corner, one of the hard corners, like we just approved the high density, I might be more for it, but I just don't think it's consistent with what's next to it.
However, it is consistent with the zoning ordinances, so therefore it is an allowed occupancy.
Okay. I can also agree with that.
Any other thoughts?
No.
All right. Then I think making sure that Butterfly is constructed, it sounds, you know, everything has to be there before, but just adding that as an additional condition that it is there, can't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'd stand for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we recommend for approval case number 2207-S preliminary plat for Newberry Place subdivision, subject to the conditions of approval listed in section 9 of the staff report. Additionally, we would require that West Butterfly Street shall be constructed in the initial phase of the project and used for construction purposes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay. Motion carries. All right, thank you. Then seeing nothing else on the agenda, is there anything that staff has?
No, sir.
Was there a motion for the design review?
Oh, for the landscape.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 22-16-DR design review for Newberry Place subdivision.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Then if there's nothing else from staff or any other comment?
No, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adjourn tonight's meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Meeting adjourned.